Welcome to Superheroes in Heels, the podcast where powerful women rise, lead, and own the room. I'm Kimberly Borgens, your host, fellow trailblazer, and unapologetic advocate for women in the world of business. With over 30 years of experience building success in a male-dominant industry, I'm here to empower you to do the same. Each week, you'll hear bold conversations with inspiring guests who embody strength, resilience, a little dash of sass, and a little bit of grace. Together, we'll challenge the status quo, break through barriers, unlock your confidence, and unleash your inner superhero. You ready? Let's go.
Hello, hello, fabulous superheroes. Welcome to another episode of Superheroes in Heels, the show that we trade our capes in for stilettos and get real about the adventures and misadventures of being a woman in business. I'm your host, Kimberly Borgens, and today I'm coming to you with a confession. Okay, I'm a recovering control freak. Yep, I said it. Cards on the table. Can I get an amen, ladies? Today, we're going to dive into the world of control. Why do we do it? What it costs us and how to spot it. But most importantly, how to let it go so we can lead and live with more freedom. So grab yourself a coffee, your notebook, and maybe a stress ball or, you know, maybe a glass of wine. This is going to be good. Look, if being a control freak was an Olympic sport, in my early years, I had more medals than Simone Biles. Let me paint the picture. I once labeled all of my pens and pencils. And yes, that's an actual story. They had these little flags on them, so I would know if somebody else had my pen. Or how about this? I don't know. Maybe I have some of you out there. Have you ever let somebody else load the dishwasher, but then gone back and rearranged every plate? Maybe just me. Oh, come on. I know some of you are out there silently nodding in solidarity. Look, being a control freak isn't just a personality quirk. It's practically a business strategy for some of us. But is it working for us or is it working against us? So let's talk about why do we do it? Why do women in business try to control every detail, every outcome, and every email font size? It's not just about perfectionism. Really, it's about safety, comfort, and sometimes fear. For many of us, control is our, what do you call it? Emotional spandex, right? It smooths out the anxiety. It holds everything into place, but it keeps us feeling together, or at least looking that way to everyone. But here's the kicker. Just like spandex, control is tight. It's uncomfortable. And not exactly designed to wear all day long. It's a coping mechanism that helps us get through the tough times, but it can also squeeze the joy, squeeze out creativity right out of our business. Whew, who's ready to take those things off at the end of the day? Look, I'm talking about control in the sense of what do we have to control? This isn't just a business problem. It happens at home all the time, like trying to control every little detail. What time your kids to go to bed? What time they get up? What time they do this? What time they do that? Now, some of that is important for structure. Sometimes, I don't know, we women tend to go a little bit overboard. If we hear our husband saying is like, okay, control freak, then we might be going overboard. That might be a hint. But think about that. Even our siblings, right? They might say those kinds of things. That's a clue for you that you might want to look at it because it might be costing you something in your personal life. It could be costing you relationships. It could be costing you those conversations that you truly want to have with the people, but because you seem to be a little controlling, they don't really want to have those conversations with you because they don't want to be controlled. You know, let's look at the reality of it. When you're busy doing everything, you're actually missing out on everything else. The hidden costs of trying to control it all, stress, burnout, stalled growth, and let's be honest, right? Becoming the bottleneck in our own company, in our own family, in our own life. Look, I learned this the hard way. Okay. I've been called a control freak many, many, many a time. There was a time when I felt like I had to answer every email, approve every order, fix every typo, right? Correct people all the time. I was working 16 hours a day and sleeping like a ninja, you know, one eye open and one eye closed. Look, I'm a 24/7 business after all, and I had four kids at home and one of them was a sleepwalker. But when I was trying to control it all at the same time, it was even worse. I was exhausted and I was robbing my team of the chance to shine, even my kids. And not to mention, I never really got really good REM sleep. It wasn't until I was able to learn to let go of some control that I actually had a really good night's sleep. So let's play a little game for a quick second. Okay, let's call it, are you a control freak for CEO? Ready? Here we go. I want you to score 1 point for every yes that you get from the questions that I ask. Number one, do you secretly undo tasks that your team has already done? And if you don't have a team yet, okay, your team at home. Number two, are you the only one who knows all the passwords? Number three, do you say, it's just easier if I do it myself at least once a day? Number four, have you considered installing a secret camera in the break room? Just kidding. But seriously, look, if you've scored even one, welcome to the club. No judgment here, just laughter in a safe space. The first step to recovery is admitting that we have a problem, right? Isn't that what we've heard all these years? And that's just not everybody else's fault. It's ours. So I just wanted to kind of play with it today because so often we're criticized for being control freaks. And so often it's put as a negative thing to us. And it really isn't our intention to make it a negative thing. So I really want to say that, you know, ladies, there's no shame in this game. Okay. Being a control freak means that you care. You care deeply about your work and your people. Right. But caring doesn't have to mean clutching the steering wheel until your knuckles turn white. Recovery starts with a little self-compassion and a lot of courage. So anybody ready to step into that today? The truth is, letting go is the ultimate superpower. It's not about lowering your standards. I want to be clear on that. It really is about trusting your team, trusting the process, and trusting yourself to lead rather than micromanaging. I talked about that on my last episode in case you missed it. Letting go gives you the space to think. It gives you space to create and to grow. The difference between being a boss and being a leader, right? That is powerful if you really stop and think about it. Leaders command. They don't try to control. They build trust, they empower others, and they create the space for magic to happen. I don't know about you, but I love when magic happens. So if you're looking to create magic, it might mean that you have to let go of some control. So what could you do to let go of some control? So here's a few practical little tips. And these are other tips I've given in other podcasts. I'm just putting them towards this one is, first off, delegate, right? Don't just delegate tasks, but delegate outcomes as well. Instead of telling your team, step up, how to do something, explain what success looks like and let them figure out the how, right? Let them step their creativity in and then you just be the guide for that. Another tip is build systems, not bottlenecks. Stop being the problem. You hired a team of people. Stop inserting yourself in there so often that you're actually losing more wages because you're not including the amount of time you're spending at the same time with somebody else. Good systems mean that you don't have to be in every meeting or improve or approve every decision. Look, my business partner, who happens to be my husband, also... he runs the operations of the company, and every week he has team meetings with his team. I don't attend them. I don't need to attend them, Are you kidding me? I'd go, wait, hold on. What are you doing? I don't want to be that person that's bottlenecking my operations team. I want them to take charge and step into that space. Good systems mean I don't have to be there. You can also step back, like literally. Commit to not checking on a delegated project for 48 hours. Right? You might be surprised at what can happen if you just leave people alone and let them do their job. Step back a little bit and let them move forward to show you what's going on. Trust, then verify. I say inspect what I expect is another way to say it. Give people the chance to prove themselves and then check the results. I'm not worried about the process that got them there. I'm worried about, did the results happen? Are these the results we're looking for based on our goals, our vision, our mission? If they are, I don't need to worry about the process. Well, at least not in this form, right? But give people that chance to prove themselves good. Most people hire people and are ready to see them fail. I'm challenging you to go, what can I do to see them doing well? And then the next tip is celebrate the mistakes. I know that's hard. We weren't conditioned that way. We went to school. We got a bad grade. It was negative. We get a bad grade on a report card. Our parents, you know, belittled us, guilted us, beat us, whatever it was. There was never a good reason to celebrate the mistakes. We were trained not to do that. And what I'm saying is if you want to get past being the freaky control freak, what you need to do is to start celebrating the mistakes. Turn those failures into learning moments, learning opportunities. Hey, help me understand how this happened. Okay, what do we need to do to make sure this doesn't happen again? Let them help you solve it. It's how super teams are really built. Man, let me tell you, I have learned so much from my team solving the problems from the mistakes that have happened than for me even going in there and saying, this is what you did. They actually learned so much more when they celebrated their mistake by saying, how did I do that? How did I that come about? What could I have done differently in that? They take ownership of it. Woo! Then I don't have to be the bad guy. They get to be the bad guy on their own selves, but really they're not the bad guy because they're winning. How is that not a positive, right? Even with our kids mucked it up. Guess what? They're kids. They're supposed to muck it up. Bring them up into the space where you could celebrate their mistakes. Oh my gosh, how did you end up with that? I thought we studied enough. We studied. Oh, but what the problem is, you know what? I know for me personally, man, oh man, I get beaten for a low grade. Okay. So I worked hard to keep my standards high, but I'll tell you what, in the 9th grade, I had this history teacher. His name was Mr. K. I still remember him. And Mr. K never taught anything. Okay. Not the best teacher in the world, but he was still a teacher and he wasn't a bad guy. He just never taught anything in class. What he did is we had our social studies book, all right? And that thing was huge. It's one of the biggest books I ever had in my entire life. It was thick, it was tall, it was heavy. And I had to take it home every single day. But what Mr. K did is he would have you read the chapter and then you would take a test at the end of the week. You read the chapter, you take a test. You read the chapter, you take a test. Got it. Sounds easy, right? I would read the chapter, I would take the test, and I would fail the test every single week. Every single week. And so the consequence, the punishment in school, right? If you didn't pass the test, then you had to write the chapter. You had to handwrite that chapter and turn it in on the Monday. So my whole weekend would be spent writing this daggum chapter. Week after week after week. He never stopped and said, hey, how can I help you? He said, you're not studying. I'm writing these chapters every single week, right? I got so good My creativity, I figured out that Mr. K was not even, he was not even reading what I was writing. He'd look at it and he'd go, okay, he'd give it back to me, right? What I was doing was having a girlfriend party, and everybody would bring their book and everybody would write some of the stuff, and I'd put it, mine were always the top pages. And then my girlfriends would have different pages that they would write out, and I'd put them all together, and then we could go play and I could have a weekend time with my friends, right? I'd have snacks. We would just have a book writing party. And then finally I got mad one day. I'm not going to do anymore. He said, then go down to the principal's office. And I was like, okay, no problem. I was a TA in the principal's office for second period. I had no problem going to the principal's office. So I go down there and I'm sitting on the principal's bench, and the principal came in and he's like, he sees me and he's like, hey, Smiley, what are you doing here? And I said, well, Mr. K sent me. He's like, all right, come in. Let's have a talk. So we go in. I said, look, I told Mr. K I'm not writing any more of this book. I've written this much. And I showed him my whole binder filled with all the chapters to this book. So just to, you know, the story's a little bit long, but let me finish it out here. So finally, I talked to the principal. The principal sent me over to the counselor. The counselor did some testing, and it turned out I don't remember anything that I read to this day. It still just doesn't happen. I have to study differently than most other kids had to study. When I went to the police academy, I had to do it differently than most people were learning the vehicle codes and the penal code sections. I had to do it differently. And so the point is that I had to, you know, let go of the failure of all the failed classes, all the failed tests, in order for me to move forward, to understand that I had to deal with this, you know, brain disability. I don't call it a disability. It's just a difference about me. This learning thing, I had to turn my failures in that moment into how can I be successful? So when you can turn those failures that you're doing, look, you never know somebody else's story. Okay. I read all the time. I love to read. It just doesn't mean I remember everything about it, which is a bonus for me because I can read, you know, books again. And unless I put some emotional connection to it, right? It's just kind of funny for me. But think about it for you. What is that thing that you had failure in that is still holding you back because you didn't celebrate the mistake? You didn't learn from it. Miss Control Freak, I want you to let go of it. I want you to learn to celebrate those mistakes. I want you to say, what did I learn from that? It's not a mistake when you can learn from it. It's a lesson. I know that teachers and parents, you know, we were beat into this is a problem. This is a failure. And I'm telling you, it's not. So don't hang on to it, okay? But what I really want to say next is when you move from control to command, you have command presence, you step into your true leadership power. You create a culture where your team feels safe to take risks. They feel safe to innovate. They feel safe to bring their best selves to work because they know that you're not going to make them feel like a failure at their job. You stop being the bottleneck and you start to be the catalyst. Empowering your team isn't just good for business. It's good for your soul. Okay. When I was able to stop trying to control every situation, every little detail, right? It made it so much easier. Let me be honest with you though. I let go of control all the time, but when I'm stressed, it seems like I start to control a little bit more. So if you're noticing that you're in control space, check in with yourself. Are you stressed out? What are you stressed out about? What can you control in this moment? Right? Empowering your team isn't just good for business. Like I said, it's good for your soul. It's good for your sanity. It's good for your stress. And if you find yourself getting stressed out, then check in so that you're not trying to control everything. When you can get focused on the big picture, your vision, your yes, you might even be able to take a little vacation where you don't check your email every 10 minutes. I mean, imagine that. I know I can do that. How about you? What I'm saying is let go of being the perfectionist, the control freak, the person who has to be in charge of everything. You have to be responsible to make sure everything gets done in your business. That's different than you having to do everything. The buck stops with you as the CEO of your business, but it doesn't mean you're the only one who can do it. Let other people show their magic, show their gift, bring things to the table that you never even thought of yet. You'd be surprised what more you can add to your business when you let other people bring their more. So, superheroes, here's your permission slip. Let it go. You don't have to do it all. In fact, the reality is your team will thank you for letting them step up. And imagine if you can connect with other people instead of having to do all that work, how much more your business could be. So if you want to connect with other amazing women, you loosen, you know, your grip just a little bit, lead with purpose, join me over at the Hive Hangout. It's the community of fearless, fabulous women entrepreneurs. We share stories, laugh at our control freak moments, support each other in building powerful businesses, you know, with a little bit more ease and heck, a lot more fun. Go to KimberlyBorgans.com and, you know, get connected with me at the Hive Hangout. Until next time, keep your heels high, your standards higher. And remember, letting go is the new superhero move. Be blessed.
Thanks for tuning in to Superheroes in Heels with Kimberly Borgans. If you're walking away feeling a little braver, a little bolder, and a whole lot more powerful, mission accomplished. Be sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review. It helps us to reach more women who are ready to unleash their power and lead with confidence. And if you do leave a review, you might just hear your name in an upcoming episode. If today's conversation lit a fire in you, share it with your network and join us inside the Hive Society at KimberlyBorgans.com, where powerful women gather to break barriers and rise together. Until next time, keep showing up, standing strong, and heels or not, keep embracing your inner superhero.